just want to talk with you a little bit this morning about our relationships with the church. As children of God, as people that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, born into his family, we're going to start as we look for a moment at Acts chapter 2, verse 46. And it says, "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts." Some translations will say breaking bread from house to house. Now, I want you to notice something. These were believers, just like you and I are. I want you to notice that they gathered together in big groups in temple courts. And then they gathered together in small groups in their homes. I want us to think about small groups this morning. I want us to be reminded that the health and the well-being of the early church was tied both to the larger group meeting and to the small group meeting. As they came together in two different venues, in two different ways, two different contexts. I want to remind you that the health of the local church has always been tied to small groups within that body. Now, when I speak about small groups, I'm talking about Sunday school classes, Bible study groups. These Bible study groups can be on Sunday morning at the church. They can be at other times and other places during the week. They might even be in your home. Now, I know there was a time in Baptist life when Bible study groups meeting in the homes was frowned on. I don't understand why, but it was frowned on. But that's a valuable and viable part of the church. It might be the choir as a small group. Sometimes it's men's or women's ministry groups, depending on what they're formed for and what their function is. They might be short-term groups or they might be long-term and ongoing, like a Sunday school class. Did you ever wonder why over a period of years you would see a number of people come into the church membership either through baptism, through transfer of membership from other places, and yet after 4, 5, 6, 7 years, church size basically unchanged? Do you ever wonder why that happens? I was in a church in a Seattle suburb while we were out there living. And the pastor that was there started that church some 25 years ago. And their average attendance now runs to be about 100 to 150. Their church membership is about 70 members. And he was talking with me one day and he says, "I don't understand why over the past 8 years we've had this many people join the church and start being here with us, and yet our church size has not changed in the last 10 years. You ever notice that? You ever wonder why it happens? There are some amazing statistics about people that join the local church. I'm not talking about people that just decide to go for a while. I'm talking about people that make a commitment to serve God in and through that body because they feel that the Spirit of God has led them there, wants them to be a part of what He's doing there. And so they come and they either are saved and make a profession of faith and come into the church body through baptism, or they come and they say, we want to move our membership from this church over here or this church up north because we believe that this is where God wants us to be. You got that. You know who I'm talking about now. Of those people that join a local church and get involved in small groups within that church, statistically, we're finding out that 83% of them will still be active in that church in 5 years' time. 83%, that's pretty good. We're also finding that of those people that join the local church because God put me here, but they don't get involved in a local in a small group. They're worship service attenders only, and by the way, I'm grateful to have them. But in 5 years' time, statistically, only 16% of those will still be active. 83%? 16%. Beginning to see a picture here? And they won't be active because they have not been growing spiritually. By and large, this bears out to us the truth that we cannot grow effectively as a Christian. We cannot grow to be strong, mature, spiritual beings in isolation. It just doesn't happen, guys. I want us to think about why small groups in a local church are so powerful and why they're so important. First of all, there is the relationship factor that we have to know about. If you are in a small group, the likelihood of you building an ongoing relationship with other believers is extremely high. And the reason that it's high is because you're with those people week after week after week after week. But not only are you with them, you are interacting with them. You are building relationships because you are in that small group context, beginning to share life together one with the other. And if you are building relationships with other believers in the church, you are bonding to the church. You are getting knitted in, as it were. And if you are in those small groups, the risk of you leaving the church and dropping out is extremely low. The church that I talked to you about in Seattle doesn't have Sunday school. Sometimes through the year, they have some small groups meeting. And the only way you really knit with that church is through small groups, but that's not unusual because the only way you really knit into any church and assimilate into that church is through small groups. So there's a relationship factor to look at. There's also the ministry factor that we look at. Adult small groups in the local church. One of the neat things about adult small groups in the local church is that those groups actually act like and function like small churches. They take care of each other when needs arise. They provide meals when there's sickness. If it's a small group that has young families in it, they swap off babysitting. They share outgrown clothes one with the other. They do family things together. And in those small groups, ministry within the group is much more likely to occur than it is in this group, the large group setting. It's more likely to occur because we get to know each other well. We're sitting there studying the Bible together week after week, and we're talking about our lives and our families and the hurts and the pains, and we pray for one another and we share things with one another, and we find ourselves coming shoulder to shoulder one with the other when there is a need within that small group, and we are more likely to minister to someone in that small group of 10 to 15 to 20 than we are to minister to someone in a group of 100, because we're much more likely to know the needs of someone in a group of 10 to 15 to 20 than we are in a group of 100. We're much more likely to be bonded to that person and to have a caring heart towards that person because we know them personally. We're in the worship setting. We come in and we speak and we smile and we talk a little bit. And some of us worship together for 50 years and we don't even know the other one's married. Or that her husband died 3 years ago. Because it's not conducive. This is a time for corporate worship. A time for praise. A time for sharing together in that way. But the ministry factor happens in the small groups by and large. And then there is the teaching factor. Now, I will agree with you that learning scriptures happens in more than one venue. There are at least three. One is the preaching of the word. I desperately hope that if you sit here week after week, that you learn something about God's word before I get done on Sundays. If you don't, I'm in trouble. And we learn through our personal Bible study at home, and that's vitally important. And we learn scripture in small group studies. And I believe that some of the greatest learning occurs in the small group setting while we are interacting one with the other, and we're all focused on that one passage of scripture. We're all looking at the resources that we have to study that passage of scripture. We're all bringing our life's experiences into play as we study that passage of scripture. And we are more likely to learn scripture in the small group setting than any other place we have available to us. By the way, that is a scriptural statement. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. We come together and we learn together and we strengthen each other as God uses us in those groups. So there's the relational factor and the ministry factor, the teaching factor. There's also the evangelism factor. Now, not every small group is evangelistic, but all groups can have evangelistic results. And sometimes it happens without even trying. Suppose that you're able to get a friend of yours who won't come to church, But you're able to get them into your home for a small group Bible study with some other believers and some other neighbors. Suppose that happens. And before long, maybe that person begins to go to church with you on Sunday morning. And maybe that's a positive enough experience for that person that they are able to bring their family to church with them. And just maybe that as they continue studying the Bible with you, as they continue coming into a public worship setting, as the Holy Spirit continues to work on them, and they begin to become more receptive to what God wants to do in their life, just maybe one of them gets saved. And evangelism is happening because of your small group. And you weren't even aiming for that. You were just having a Bible study. Small groups matter. Why? Why do they matter? They matter because the health of the church is directly tied to the health of the small groups in that church. Hear me say that. The health of the church is directly tied to the health of the small groups within the church. Now, here's a bold statement for you. If you're not having a growing, healthy Sunday school or other small groups, either at the church or in homes, the health of the church is being hindered. It will not, and it cannot, be a strong, vibrant, healthy church without strong, vibrant, healthy small groups. The place where people connect with the church, the place where people identify with the church, and the place where people become bonded in the church is not in this room. It's in small groups. It's in Bible studies. It's in Sunday school or home study groups. Not only is there connection in that group, there is accountability in that group. Hey, I've got these people here and I'm going to meet with them on Sunday morning and we're going to talk about this passage of scripture and we're going to talk about this material that this particular writer wrote. Maybe I should do a little bit of study on this so that when I am with my group, I won't look like the dummy in the class, but I will be able to reason with the others. I will be able to share what I may have gleaned from this material, what I think God has said to me during this time. Small groups help close the back door to the church. The back door, that's a term used for where people that are not connected, not bonded to the church, not cemented into the church, just kind of disappear and go away. There's nobody back there to catch them. Nobody back there to see them. Statistically, someone in a small group is 5 times more likely to remain active in the local church than someone who just attends church. That means that someone in a small church is 5 times more likely to become involved in ministry than someone that just attends church. That means that someone in small groups are five times more likely to share their faith and five times more likely to have a stronger, growing, personal, spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. My, it's quiet in here. I could say that the eastern sky is going to split. And Jesus is going to step out of the cloud. And the dead in Christ are going to rise. And then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to be with him in the air. And I get your attention real well. And if I kept on that vein, you'd start responding to me verbally. I know you. My, it's quiet in here this morning. So, as a church member, believing that God has brought us together to do ministry together, to grow together spiritually, to impact this community together, we should be committed not only to come into church on Sunday morning, but we ought to be committed to being part of a small group in the church. Because that's where ministry happens. That's where teaching happens. That's where bonding happens. That's where relationships grow. If you're not involved in small groups in a local church, it's much more easy for you to become disenchanted with the church. It's much more easy for you to become a critic of the church rather than an encourager in the church. It's much more easy to become a dropout. Everybody, not just the leader, but everybody in a small group ought to be constantly inviting other people to come into that group. Because small groups are the best way I know of assimilating new people into the body of Christ and making them feel a part of what's going on and having them respond in kind. You see, small groups are critical to the health of the church. And small groups are critical to the spiritual health and growth of the Christian. Now, you'll be glad to know that this is a brief message today. But it is packed full for us. So I want to ask you some questions before we close. Number one, will you hear me say that God loves you so much that he gave Jesus Christ, his only son, to die on a cross so that you might be safe from your sin and so that you would have the opportunity to spend eternity with him? Tomorrow morning, I'm going to speak to the family of Martha Robinson, and I'm going to have the privilege of speaking to some of her friends as well as her family. And one of the things that I'm going to be able to tell them with confidence is that my sister Martha is presently, currently in the presence of the living God and will be there for eternity. And I'm going to be able to tell them that because of the words of her testimony, because of her life of faith, and because of the promise of God that Jesus Christ came to die on that cross. So if we believe in him and we trust him, then we too will have everlasting life. And when this body dies, we go to be with him. If it were your funeral, would I be able to tell your family the same thing? Would I be able to tell your friends that? Secondly, if you've got that nailed down, if you've made that commitment, I wonder if you today would make a commitment to be part of one of the small groups in our church. Even better, I wonder if you would consider allowing God to use you to begin a new small group within our church, either on Sunday morning or some other time during the week in your home. There's all kinds of material available for you that we can provide. I'll even do better than that. If you want to start a home study group, a home Bible study, and you're not comfortable leading that study and would like, I will make a commitment to you to lead that study for 2 to 3 months, providing. Part of the people in that group do not attend Sunday school on a regular basis. If it's all people out of your Sunday school class, it's not going to help. You've already got that group bonded together. We're looking to involve more and involve more people. Would you pray with me this morning? God, sometimes your word leads us into different kinds of places and different kinds of discussions. Sometimes we need to be reminded that you have brought us into this local body of Christ together. And you haven't brought us here just to be fed, although that's important. You haven't brought us here just to worship you, although that's important. But you've brought us here to be part of a living organism that is working in this community, that is ministering to one another and ministering to those outside of this body and reaching outside of this body to bring others in. Not just because we can bring them into the body, but because we seek to bring them into the kingdom. So God, I'm not sure what you're speaking into hearts and minds today, but I know that you are. And so I just pray that people would respond to what you're leading, what you're calling, and that you would be honored in this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. 447.